Yep. All right. For the record, it's March 7th, 2025, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Paul Burks, hearing examiner for Kitsap County. Continued hearing date on the Spring Hill administrative appeal of a SEPA determination consolidated with preliminary plat application. I believe, Mr. Gore, you're still presenting witnesses at this case. Is that correct? I just saw this morning I sent out the wrong last transcripts. I thought those were the most recent, but they were the first day. So I'm a little, didn't get a chance to see where we were in the proceeding at this point. So.
Yes. Yes. In the middle of our presentation, Ms. Myers went first, and now we're going to call Ms. Bartlett. But I did want to preliminarily note, I sent out an email yesterday to the group with some exhibits that we would like to get admitted.
And so, let me ask Ms. Nichols, does the county have any objection to entry of those documents or?
Yeah, as a procedural matter, we do object because there was, sorry, I'm trying to fight the frog in my throat. I believe I read that these were in response to the staff report, but the staff report came out on the 20th and rebuttal exhibits were due on the 24th. So we had plenty of time. And then also exhibit 75 is more of a legal analysis, which is not evidentiary. And the hearing examiner already has rules for pre-hearing briefs submitted with the exhibits on the 20th and then any closing brief. So the county doesn't want to be prejudiced by having those admitted as evidence when it's untimely and more of a legal analysis for that last one.
Okay, Mr. Gorey, any response to that or?
Yeah, as for exhibit 72, which is Mr. Nason's memo, as well as exhibit 73 and 74, it's a summary of testimony that was given last Thursday, but I thought it would be helpful just to kind of put it all together for Mr. Examiner, and for the other parties. So it's really just a summary of last Thursday, just to be clear. But also as to Mr. Nason's, we received actually during the hearing last Thursday on the 27th, that new exhibit from the county engineer dated January 28th, 2025. It's exhibit 60 or F60, I'm not sure. So I mean, that was just dropped on us there. So Mr. Nason, we felt compelled to have him, you know, in fairness, respond to that one. So I think that one clearly is rebuttal, and it's fair and timely. And 73 and 74, again, I do want to make the point like I did in the email. It just the quirk of the you know, the timing of things. We got the staff report late in the day on the 20th, which was also the deadline for submission of our materials. So really, we had no time to kind of pour through the staff report. We submitted kind of a thrown together initial brief. And so, you know, in fairness, they had weeks and weeks to prepare the staff report. We had a matter of a couple of hours to kind of digest it before the deadline for our submission was due. And then it's kind of hard to, you know, coherently, orally respond to that, you know, a staff report. So I think in fairness, the you know, 72, 73, 74 should be admitted. As to 75, as we all know, Mr. Examiner, you sent out the email. It was to me, copy everybody else. And I thank you for sharing that. But it was the referencing Judge Forbes' decision and order from 2016 and your thoughts at the time regarding that in relation to another matter. And so I took that as a, you know, a call for, you know, clarification. And as I said in the email, I would fully expect that you would allow the county to brief that issue as well, in fairness. But I do think it bears on really maybe the central issue of the SEPA appeal. So I think that's appropriate. I can simply read that, you know, memo into the record for my closing argument. I'd rather not do that. So I was just trying to be efficient. So.
Well, yeah. Speaking of closings, and this could affect my ruling on admission of these documents. I mean, do the parties intend on submitting written closings, or how did you plan on doing that today? Assuming we get done today, Mr. Gorey, what's your preference there?
Yeah, no, I think we will get done today. You know, witnesses go longer than expected. But our thought was, I was just planning on doing oral closing. Well, you know, these have been long nights. I'm ready for this to be done. So I think it'd be nice to just get it done.
My name is Nicole.
I was planning on doing some written to respond to the legal issues, but I know we already did a pre-hearing brief. So If the hearing examiner wishes, I can prepare for a closing argument orally and not have to do in writing.
And Ms. Nickel, if that works for you, I mean, you know, I just try to find some mutual agreement there. And if you're the one willing to be flexible there, and certainly if we finish early, we can take an hour or two break or something and do it at that point. And then in terms of the admission of the documents, let me take that under advisement during the break. I'll take a look at that and read through it. I mean, you know, as far as summaries go, I do have those electronic transcripts done and spend a lot of time going over those. So the summaries may not be necessary. And at the same time, it doesn't really prejudice anybody because, it's just the summary. But I'll take a look at that and issue a ruling after the first break. So let's jump into the testimony then at this point. And Mr. Gorey had another witness to present.
I do. Right. Let me get organized here. Okay, yeah, so I'll be doing the screen share. I think I figured that out, so I won't be burdening Liliana with that. All right, yeah, so we would like to call Joanne Bartlett to testify.
Perfect. I'm pulling over as a panelist right now. You should see her pop up on your screen in a few seconds.
There she is. All right, Ms. Bartlett, welcome to the proceeding. Let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. All right, go ahead, Mr. Bartlett.
Thank you. I'm getting some reverb. Joanne turned off her volume. Okay. Good morning, Ms. Bartlett. Would you please tell us what your profession is?
I'm a wetland biologist.
Can everyone hear her?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, great. And could you give us a brief summary of your education, training, experience as it relates to your wetland biologist work?
I have a degree in biology from Central Washington University with a specialization in wildlife management, and I've been doing wetland delineation work in Kitsap County for almost 35 years.
Okay, and have you done a lot of projects involving wetland fill?
I've done some.
Okay, and you've prepared a number of mitigation plans, I would imagine?
I have.
Okay. And between you and Robin Myers, the other wetland specialist in this case, what percentage of the wetland projects do you guys handle collectively in Kitsap County?
Oh, I would say that she and I are probably at least 75% of the work in Kitsap County.
Okay. And you are on the Kitsap County DCD's list of qualified wetland specialists, is that mm-hmm. correct? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that, just for the record, that's exhibits B67 and B68. And sometimes does the county hire you to be a consultant to the county?
They do occasionally. I haven't been hired by the DCD, but I have been Kitsap County Public Works in the past.
Okay. On wetland matters?
On wetland matters. Widening project.
Okay. And then the findings and conclusions that you prepared, presented when you're working for the county, have they ever disregarded them or questioned them?
Not often, if they have.
Okay. let's see. So jumping into it here. So are you, let me call up an exhibit here. All right, so Liliana, do I share my screen here?
Yeah, you should be able to share your screen and pull it up.
Gotcha, share screen, okay. Okay. And everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're looking at exhibit B4. Okay, so this is an email correspondence between David Smith, as you can see, and he's writing to the county. And on page 3, he's saying, you know, please send the ordinance does not allow subdivisions to mitigate or buffer average wetlands. Okay. And so obviously he's been told that. And then Mr. Scott Diener responds, and I'm looking on page one, and we can read it there, right? So Mr. Diener is saying that code prohibits developing plats that will require setting up exemptions to zoning or environmental code. And he refers to it as a land speaks first perspective. He cites Kitsap County codes from section 16, which is not the critical areas ordinance, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then he says he has the attorney's backing. They've interpreted this section of code to mean plats need to comport with enviro code at the outset. Okay, and then he talks about the land being limited in its capacity. Had you ever heard of this so-called land speaks first policy and the notion that plats have to comply, you know, and avoid impacts from the outset?
I have in the past. Haven't in the past, but more recently.
Okay, but was this the first time you'd ever heard of this?
Yes.
Okay. So is this a newer development in your 35 years of experience?
It is, yes.
Okay. Okay, and I know Ms. Myers, when she testified, she listed a number of projects that she had knowledge of that involved filling wetlands through the mitigation sequencing process under 19200230, where no critical area variance was required.
That's correct.
Okay. And do you likewise have some examples of projects that have filled wetland through the mitigation sequencing process without a critical area variance being required?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And can you please list those off for us?
Yes, I have. Look at my paper. There is a project in Silverdale called Woodbridge Crossing where they filled up to less than a half an acre of wetland, and we did the mitigation plan, and we got a nationwide permit from the Corps of Engineers, and we did not require a variance. The Rite Aid at Country Corners in Kingston was also a fill permit that we got a nationwide for, and we didn't require a variance. The ridges on Wagaway, also one that we filled wetland and didn't need variance, and we got nationwide permits for most of these. There's a project, it's a really old project at the corner of John Carlson Road and Wagaway in Bremerton. We called it the Robinson Carlson, and they filled wetland to create a building pad, and we did not require variance. North Randall Way, which is an area across Randall Way from Target in Silverdale, that also we filled wetland, got a nationwide permit, and did not require a variance. We did another one at Buckland Hill and Mickleberry, where the Albertsons and Kroger's first went in there. We did a wetland fill and mitigation, got a nationwide permit. I have a single family project I did in Hansville and Driftwood Keys that had to fill a wetland to create a driveway. We got a nationwide permit for that and did not require a variance. We have a couple in the city of Paulsbo, Whitford Strand that we worked with David on several years ago, and then Blue Heron, where we also built wetland, got a nationwide permit, and the city did not require a variance for either of those projects.
Okay. So and in your 35 odd years of experience as a wetland specialist in Kitsap County, have you ever seen a critical area variance be required in connection with wetland fill through the mitigation sequencing process? Okay. Is this project the first time you've ever seen it?
This is, yes.
Okay. And then you referred to the project with David.
Correct.
And that was at the Whitford Strand?
It was.
Okay. And is that the subject of, have you reviewed Judge Forbes' decision and order?
Yes. Okay. I haven't reviewed the order, but I reviewed the email that came.
Okay. So you're familiar with that there is an order regarding that. Okay. Right. That project is the subject of that order. Is that correct?
That's what my understanding is.
Okay. All right. And that project was a subsidivision, a residential?
It was a subdivision.
Okay. Seven units, as I recall.
Yes, something.
All right. And purely private there. No public interest, no affordable housing or anything like that.
That's correct.
Okay. And then I think that it filled 100% of the wetlands on site?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And no critical area variance required there?
No variance.
All right. And then there's been a lot of discussion in this case and in the county's brief and so on about indirect impacts. And could you just describe, what is meant when you say indirect impacts?
Well, indirect impacts result from when you impact, directly impact or fill an area of wetland that's more than a half an acre size. I typically stick with half an acre of wetland fill. So I'm going to speak from the nationwide permit lesson. So when you have a larger wetland and you fill less than a half an acre of wetland, you end up with wetland left over that you have to designate a buffer for. And that's what we call indirect impact. So we take a portion of the wetland that's existing and convert it to a buffer.
Okay.
And that is the reason for that is that the federal and state agencies do not allow you to fill wetland to create a buffer. So create upland to have a buffer.
Okay.
So we basically designate a portion of a wetland as a buffer. And I've been doing that for as long as I can remember.
Okay, it's just generally accepted.
Yeah, it's been many years.
Okay, and do you need a critical area variance to do indirect impacts?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Okay, and I forgot to ask you, you've worked in other jurisdictions besides Kitsap County, I assume. Okay, and how many other, just roughly?
Oh, I would say 10 or 11 other ones.
Okay, and in those other jurisdictions, have you ever seen a critical area variance in connection with a mitigation fill or wetland fill through mitigation sequencing?
No, I have not.
Okay. Okay, so let's okay, let me get to exhibits F4 and F5. Forgive my clumsiness here. The share screen bar is blocking my blocking my access here. All right, let me see if I can move this. Yeah, here comes Liliana to the rescue. Yeah, I'm trying to toggle between the B exhibits and the F exhibits. Ah, voila. Okay, so here, Ms. Bartlett here, I've got up here exhibit F4. So, and it looks like this is your conceptual wetland mitigation plan dated April 12th, 2023.
Yes,
is that correct? Okay, and then I won't call it up, but exhibit F5 is your critical area study with the same date, I believe.
Correct.
And the two kind of go hand in glove.
Yes, they do.
Okay, what's the critical areas study, exhibit F5? Just what's the purpose of that?
That's basically identifying the wetland boundary flag in the field and then it's surveyed. And it also discusses the required buffers based on the rating form.
Okay, and that's a detailed document, is it not?
It is, yes.
Okay, and I'm toggling through it and showing the figures and photo plates, vicinity map, and so on, and a lot of detail about the site.
Correct.
Okay, and what goes into that critical area study? Do you make site visits? Is there a team of you? How does that work?
There is a team of us, and we go out and we physically walk the boundary of the wetland flags. We do have our GPS capability, but it's survey is usually done after for plats. So, and then we lock the whole boundary and find out, you know, where it is. And then using that information, we collect data as well regarding vegetation, soils, and hydrology to confirm the delineation. And then we use that information to rate the wetland using the Washington Department of Ecology wetland rating system.
Okay, I'm toggling through here, and I'm at exhibit F5, page 33. I'm looking at a wetland determination data form. Is this what you're talking about?
Yes, that's the data that we collect in the field, and we include it in our report to verify our boundary, because we will have the county looking at it. We'll have Corps of Engineers looking at it, and we'll have Department of Ecology. So we have to provide all that information for them as part of their review process.
Okay, and I see there are a lot of photos. Obviously, you're photographing the site.
Yes.
Okay. And then is it so for this particular project? You know, there are county and perhaps state maps that kind of identify critical areas. Is that correct?
That's correct. We do include those maps in the critical area report to document what potentially is mapped there, mm-hmm. and then we confirm that with our delineation.
Okay. So in this case, did the maps show these wetlands or the extent of these wetlands?
They did not show the wetlands.
At all? Okay. So the fact that we know the existence of these wetlands, is that due to your research and analysis?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And so, and then the delineation and the categorization, right? All of that, that's due to your efforts.
Correct.
And your efforts alone. I mean, your companies.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, all right. I'm scrolling through F5. It's just got a trove of information. Okay. All right. Well, let me. Okay. So let me get back to F4, which is okay. Now F4 is your mitigation plan. So. What is the mitigation plan? What's the point of that?
The mitigation plan is prepared based on the requirements of the Corps of Engineers and the Department of Ecology, as well as Kitsap County in the Critical Areas Code. So what we do is we determine the area of impact that is proposed, and based on the category of the wetland, we determine what is needed to mitigate for that direct impact. So in this case, it's a category 4 wetland at a 1.5-to-1 ratio per the requirements. And then as part of the mitigation plan, we detail how we came up with the areas for mitigation. In this case, it's on-site in kind based on the code. Mm-hmm. Because it's on-site, we had to be creative and use some of the areas that were in and around the existing wetland. And so as part of that, and before we come up with the mitigation plan, go through the mitigation sequencing, the avoidance, minimization, the mitigation. So we went through that process and came up with the mitigation plan. The Corps of Engineers agreed with our mitigation sequencing, the avoidance and minimization.
Okay, thank you. I'm on my screen here. I've got this map of the property, and you see it here. So is the green the wetlands that you identified and delineated?
It is.
Okay, so up in the northwest corner, is that wetland C? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then this big one here in the middle. Kind of, I always think it looks like the country of India. That's wetland A.
That's correct. Wetland.
Okay. And then over here where I'm toggling, this is little wetland B, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's a small wetland.
Correct.
All right. And then these yellow lines around the wetlands here, what are those? What do they represent?
They represent the buffers that are based on the category of the wetland.
Okay. What category are these wetlands?
Category 4.
Are they all category 4?
They are all category 4.
Okay, and then what is category 4? What highest, lowest functioning? Where does it fall on the spectrum?
It's usually the lowest functioning.
Okay, all right, and are category 4 wetlands often heavily disturbed and filled? And
yes.
Okay, all right, and so you mentioned avoidance and minimization. So part of this is the mitigation sequencing process and avoidance. And so is this map we're looking at? Is this something that the property owner, the developer would utilize in terms of seeing whether they can avoid wetlands or not?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And how is it helpful in that regard?
Well, it gives them an idea of what's available for building, outside the wetland and outside the buffers.
Okay. All right. And in this case, given the purpose of the project, the applicant determined that it could not avoid impacts. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And Do you agree with that analysis?
I do.
Okay. Let me just, I know that you've addressed it in the mitigation report. Okay. Oh boy. Sorry, everyone. You're gonna make us miss Liliana here. So you do talk. You have a discussion here of the applicant's efforts to avoid and minimize. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and let me. I'm gonna get to it here. Sometimes with the minimizing. Okay, here we are. It's the mitigation sequencing that we're looking at, right? Okay, so you summarize here the applicant's avoidance efforts and minimization efforts. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then right here under avoiding in your summarizing, you say applicant made extraordinary efforts in terms of project size, density, location, and design to avoid wetland impacts in order to make possible this development, which features open market and affordable units. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And so I'm not going to read through all this, but it's all there. And then there's minimization. And then I wanted to go down here. You have a net loss section, or no net loss section of your report, I should say. And just talk about that. What is the requirement for a mitigation plan? If you intend to impact wetlands, what must you do to compensate for those impacts?
Well, you must do the mitigation in accordance with the regulations. You can, there's many options to mitigation. The first one is creation or restoration, and then you go down from there. The enhancement is the lowest and the least favorable mitigation type. And in this case, you can mitigate wetland creation because the wetland is somewhat disturbed, but not disturbed enough to produce a functional lift in its functions. So what we did is we created the wetlands in upland areas between areas of wetland. So in that way, and it's 1.5 to 1. So there's more than more wetland being created than is being disturbed as required. And it's contained on site within upland. So it's creation. So it's the highest, most favorable type of mitigation.
Okay.
It's more than we need, or more than is being filled. And it's done on site and in accordance with all the regulations.
Okay. And it achieves no net loss of ecological functioning?
It does. It'll produce a functional lift and does okay. not, because we're creating on site in the same area, it will not have a net loss of function.
Gotcha. And on site mitigation is preferable to off site. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then you keep saying functional lift. What does that mean?
Well, when we do mitigation, it's intended to, so we create it at a greater ratio so that we can achieve at least the amount of wetland we impact. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a little bit higher.
Okay. So is it just in layman's terms, is that to say that the ecological functioning of the site is actually better as a result of the mitigation?
Yes, that's what we're supposed to show that and do that.
Okay. Okay, let me just want to scroll down here. So this is your initial plan, and obviously there are iterations of this over time, right? So I mean, you know, and the applicant revised the site plan and so on and so forth. Then we'll get into that. All right. And by the way, in your early work on you know identifying and analyzing the wetlands, did you meet with any agencies to
for this site?
Yeah.
For this project? Yes.
Yeah.
Several times we met.
Okay. Okay. And could you just give us a sketch of some of those agencies and what that entailed?
We first met on site with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Suquamish Tribe to type the streams that exit Wetland C and Wetland A. They were out there. Then we visited the site with the Department of Ecology. We didn't do Department of Ecology first. Department, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, several of their biologists were out there with us, and we discussed various areas of the site. Then we had another visit with Department of Ecology and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and I believe a tribal biologist. I wasn't able to make that meeting, so I think that he was there at the time, but yeah. We visited with them several times and have met with them many times as well.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but okay. But it's just, you're not, there's active agency involvement Yes. On numerous fronts. And yeah, okay. All right. And so I've scrolled down here to, again, the April 2023 mitigation plan. And so this is at the time an overview of the mitigation. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And so it's showing the project. Okay. And it's showing the buffer, right? It's 50-foot buffer.
Correct.
And that's a function of category 4 wetlands. That's the requires 50-foot buffers. Okay. And so there's, and then the hash lines here that I'm indicating is, are these the so-called indirect impacts with wetlands serving as buffer?
That's correct.
Okay. So this is all here as of April 2023. And then the yellow areas are the newly created wetlands.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Great. All right. And so, you know, one of the critical issues in this matter, of course, is mitigation sequencing. And we've talked about it a little bit so far, right? It's the avoidance, minimization, and so on. I want to go to exhibit B56. Okay, so here's your wetland mitigation plan, the latest iteration. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so it's dated October 6, 2023, but revised May 2024. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And I want to, well, we okay, so we've talked about avoidance, minimization. Let's talk about impact and fill. So is it correct that if you do adequate avoidance and minimization, then the next step in the sequence is impacting and filling?
That's correct.
Okay. So let me scroll down to the appropriate graphic here. Okay, so let's, all right. So this is the one we previously looked at where you delineated the wetlands and you put in the buffers so that the property owner can determine if they can build the project that they want to build without impacting. Okay, and then here, then you overlay the project onto the wetlands that you've delineated. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then the next one here, now you're identifying the actual impacts as a result of the overlay of the project.
That's
correct. All right. And then, so it looks like there's a combination of direct and indirect impacts. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And so the ones I'm indicating here, these kind of orangish looking ones, but kind of at least the tops of the tentacles here, are those the direct impacts?
They are, yes.
Okay. Does that mean that those wetlands are going to be filled?
Yes, that's what that means.
All right. And so what is it? How do you fill a wetland? What does that mean?
Well, when you fill a wetland, you basically do what we've done, and then to implement it, you dig out the soil because you don't. I'm not a construction person or an engineer, but my understanding is that you dig out the hybrid soils and take them away, and then fill them in with upland soil.
Okay, so as a result of the fill, the what was once a wetland is now no longer a wetland. It's just uplands.
That's correct.
Not a critical area anymore.
No, it's not.
Okay, all right, and then okay, then that was done to these two orangish areas, or that the proposal is that'll be done to these two orangish areas.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then the areas around the that you drew in for the illustrative buffers, right, for the avoidance. You are those are uplands, correct?
Right.
Right. They're not critical areas. And then after you fill the wetland, those surrounding areas, they just remain uplands, right?
That's correct.
Does anything actually happen to that patch of earth in connection with this? Or is just it's not impacted, it's not altered in any way?
No, it's just part of the development because it's part of the upland.
Okay. So once the fill is complete, then all of this here and all of this here, it's just uplands.
That's correct.
Okay. And then at that point, the critical areas ordinance is not concerned with it, right? Because there aren't any critical areas there.
Correct.
Okay. And then we slide down to here. Now this is your mitigation overview, correct?
Correct.
All right. I suspect we'll be looking at this one quite a bit today. But let me just highlight a couple of things. So now the wetland that was filled is no longer depicted because it's just uplands, right? So that's out of the picture for, in terms of the CAO. And now we got the now we have to create the required buffer, correct?
Right.
And that's what I'm toggling through here, the 50-foot buffer, which consists of the blue area and then the indirect impact areas.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Now this is the only buffer, only required buffer for the project. Is that correct?
For wetland area, only required buffer.
Okay, but there will be no other no other required buffers on site.
Not for wetland A. Wetland C requires a buffer, but no, you're not talking about that.
That's okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just talking about what we're doing. Right. The development. Okay. So this is the only required buffer in the sense of the development.
Correct.
Okay. And are we proposing any reduction in the 50-foot buffer width?
No, we are not.
Okay. And well, let's just say hypothetically that we were. We wanted to say shrink the width of the buffer from 50 to 35 feet. Okay. That would not be done through the mitigation sequencing code, right? It would be done through the buffer reduction code.
Correct.
Okay. And that's 19200-220. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And under 19200-220, it's possible that a variance could be required if the requested buffer reduction is large enough.
If it's more than 25%, yeah.
Okay. So that would call for a variance.
Correct.
Okay. But everything we've talked about to date, all the fill and everything, that was through mitigation sequencing 19200-230.
Sure.
No variance there.
No variance.
Okay. They're really kind of two separate worlds and treatments of different events.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. And just one quick point. No, never mind. It's not relevant. Okay. Okay. So we covered avoidance, minimization, impact fill. And we've covered the mitigation. And then just quickly on the monitoring, which is the last step in the sequencing process, what is the purpose of that and how does that work?
Well, the monitoring is the follow-up to the wetland mitigation. So when we create wetland or any kind of mitigation, we're required to monitor it for 5 to 10 years to make sure it's functioning as we described in the report and make any changes, contingency changes, if something's not functioning like they expected. So we do that for 10 years. And in this case, we will do the water level monitoring with image created by, so we have the hydrology. And then we'll do vegetation monitoring as well to make sure we're meeting the vegetation performance standards outlined in the report.
Okay. So this is a lengthy period of time to make sure that the mitigation plan proposed is actually working.
Correct.
To protect the environmental functions and values.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So this is, I'm getting the sense from what you're describing, this whole mitigation sequencing process, it's pretty involved. And right. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. Fair amount of oversight from agencies and county staff, et cetera.
Yes, there is.
And in your experience, if a property owner wants to build a given project, if they can build the project they want and avoid impacts, that would be the preferred course of action, correct?
That's correct.
Because this is quite an ordeal. Okay. All right. All right. Let's just shift gears a little bit. I am looking at exhibit F23.
It's not a big deal, but your share screen only takes up half of your computer window. So we see your desktop on one half with all your phone.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Is that better?
Like I said, not a big deal. But...
Okay. Yeah. 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 Thank you very much. It's a little chaotic on my desktop. All right. Okay. Let me move this over here. All right. F20. Oh, boy. Okay, F23 is the notice of application that the county put out December 15, 2023. Are you familiar with this, Ms. Bartlett?
Yeah.
You read this?
Yes.
Okay. And when you saw this, what did it mean to you? What did it tell you about the county's review of the project?
I believe they issued, they said it would be a DNF. I can't remember the exact words. Intended to issue.
Okay, a determination of non-significance. Is that correct? That is a mouthful. Yes. DNS for short.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let me get there to what you're talking about. Okay. And so here, right here. So it says, based upon DCD's review of the SEPA environmental checklist and what DCD knows about the proposal at this time, DCD expects to issue a determination of non-significance, or DNS, for this project. Okay. All right. So, all right, given that, did that tell you that the county didn't at the time and has never throughout this project had its own wetland specialist to review this project? Is that correct?
No, they have not. Yes.
Okay. All right. Has the county ever reached out to you to discuss this project?
No, they have not.
Okay. All right. So when you see this notice in December 15th, 2023, is this telling you that the county has relied upon your work and your mitigation plan and your critical area study?
That is what I have assumed.
Okay. Is there really anything else they could have been relying on other than your work?
Not that I know of.
Okay. And this notice saying that they intend to issue a DNS, does this tell you that they believe that everything related to the mitigation sequencing was code compliant?
That's my understanding was, yes.
All right. And then does it also tell you that the county believed at this time, based on what they had reviewed, that they thought there was no probable significant adverse environmental impact?
That's what I understood.
Okay. And this is December 15th, 2015, and the...
2023.
I'm sorry. December 15, 2023. It's okay. And so the application had been deemed complete in early August. So they had over 4 months of review, and the application included your mitigation plan and critical area study. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. So the county was aware of the proposed impacts. They were aware of the indirect impacts. They were aware of the proposed creation and all of that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, in this situation that we're talking about, where the county has not hired its own wetland specialist, nor has it commissioned a third-party review or anything like that, typically would the county rely upon the applicant's wetland specialists?
That's what I have known in the past, yes.
In your 35 years, that's how it works?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then let me go to Exhibit F24. I can just scroll down. Okay, so now we're on F24. This is, I will represent, is a request for information from the county. You can see here it's dated January 29th, 2024. So this is about almost exactly a month and a half after the county issued the December 15th, 2023 notice intending to issue a DNS, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and let me scroll down. Page 3 here. And so the county is saying here, right here, this project under critical area mitigation, this project proposes to fill multiple wetlands. Filling of the wetlands requires a critical area variance, which is a type 3 permit that will go before the hearing examiner. Okay, again, you've never seen this request for critical area variance when you're filling pursuant to mitigation sequencing, correct?
I have not seen that before.
Okay, so this was a surprise to you, I take it.
It was a surprise.
Okay. Now, from the time period of December 15, 2023 to January 29, 2024, had the project changed in any way? The proposed impacts, the proposed mitigation, anything?
It hadn't changed at all, no.
No changes. So December 15, 2023, county thinks project is code compliant, no changes. Month and a half later, now the county is saying there's some non-compliance.
Correct.
Did you have any idea what they were talking about?
No, because I have not had to do a variance for our wetland mitigation project.
Okay, so you, the applicant revised the site plan in early 2024. You're aware of that?
Yes.
Okay, and as a result, obviously that affected your work and you had to revise, the mitigation plan and accordingly.
Yes.
Okay, and then so you did so, and let me just get to Exhibit D20. Okay, so you revised the site plan, okay, and looks like here in Exhibit 20, B20, you sent a memo dated March 28, 2024 to Sarah Albright, and she's the project manager for the Army Corps of Engineers, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and are you summarizing the changes in this memo?
I am.
Okay, could you go ahead and just what were kind of big picture, what were the changes to the site plan?
Well, the project had been required to move the whole thing 15 feet to the north. And so we were able to move more of the development outside of the wetland. And I just wanted to let her know that we had additional minimization to the impacts and outline what the mitigation would, how the mitigation will change.
Okay. And did the project moving 15 feet to the north, that reduced the wetland impacts, obviously?
Yes, it did.
Okay. Did it get it down to about 7% of the on-site wetlands?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And that was initially it was 10% and went down to 7%. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. And then the additional 15, you know, feet, did that allow more room for creation of wetland?
Did. Yes. We were able to expand it.
Okay. And then also for enhancement, that you added enhancement?
Yes.
Okay. And what is enhancement, by the way? I'm not sure you talked about that.
Enhancement is a form of mitigation. And it isn't functioning as high as it could, and you usually add plants or change something about the hydrology to make it function better. But it doesn't result in a net gain of wetland area or acreage.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, you're just enhancing existing wetlands. Gotcha. Okay.
Mr. Gore, you know, Ms. Bartlett sometimes kind of cuts in and out. She gets a little muffled. I'm wondering if you can, you two are in the same room, right? I mean, is there maybe... You can maybe more centrally locate the speaker. I don't know how you have that set up, but it's a little hard to hear what she's saying at times.
I'll pop in there right now and help them with that. Just 1 second.
Okay. Yeah, we're each on a laptop, just sitting across the table from each other.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So. You can talk.
So you should closer to the microphone, that would help. Or
okay.
I could do it right then. Yeah. You could come into the other room with me if you would like. I can just move right here.
Okay. Oh, it would be better if she's here.
Yeah, just like the microphone. So room, and then you can have your full microphone and audio on.
What's going on here?
Okay.
Can you slide over there? Okay. All right, we're adjusting.
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to make sure that we get a good transcript, of course.
You sit down. Okay. And if you're still not, then I'll just let me come in. I turn my volume down.
Okay, so you can hear me, and Joanne, why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit?
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, all right, so now we're sitting right next to each other, so instead of across the table. So, all right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know that. All right, so I've queued up Exhibit F53, and we were just following on the changes that were made to the mitigation plan in connection with the revision of the site plan. And so, here I'm on page, whatever page it is, page 4, Exhibit 53. So does this reflect, the revisions that you made?
It does.
Okay, and so, but relative to the initial mitigation plan back in April of 2023, we're still not touching wetland C up here, right?
That's
correct. Or the buffers around it.
Correct.
Okay, and we're impacting less of wetland A here, this country of India, correct. Right? Okay, because we've moved the project up 15 feet to the north. We're still impacting wetland B, which is what it was before.
That's correct.
Okay, all right. Very good. Okay, I just from a layperson perspective, you talked a little bit about the different categories of wetlands. So am I correct to understand that there's four categories?
Yes.
Okay, and category one, those are the highest functioning wetlands, and those probably are very difficult to impact, I would imagine.
They are more difficult to impact.
Okay, and then all the way down, two, three, and finally category four, which are the lowest functioning, often impacted.
Yes.
Okay, so if you can imagine a spectrum of you know, categories of wetlands and impacts, on the one end, the far end of the spectrum, you'd have category one, and you're impacting 100% of the wetlands on site, right? That would be the extreme impact and fill.
That's correct.
All right. And then if you just, and then you go to the other far end of the spectrum, you'd have category four, and you'd have just like just a titch, like 1% of on-site wetlands, category four filled, right? That would be the other end of the spectrum.
That would be, yes.
Okay. So this project, just so we're clear, we're on the category four side, the far end of the spectrum. And instead, but we're not 1%, but we're about 7%.
Yes.
Category four fill.
Correct.
So we're just barely on the spectrum. Category four side. Okay, but even though we're just barely on this you know, category four and mitigation fill spectrum, we're still following all the rules. We're not, no, there have been no shortcuts taken here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so let me just all right, so looking at here, is there any development that's being proposed in any of the in the buffers or setbacks?
No, there's
not. Okay. Okay. All right, and so Ms. Bartlett, do you believe that this project as proposed has probable significant and adverse environmental impacts?
I do not, because we're doing mitigation.
Okay, and then you talked about a functional lift.
Correct.
So instead of a negative one, are you talking about a positive environmental impact?
Positive, yeah.
Okay, and so you know the county's issued a determination of significance.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
Okay, what do you think the appropriate environmental threshold decision should have been?
I think it should have been a mitigated determination on significance, because we are meeting the code and requirements of the state and federal government.
Okay. I'd like to just briefly talk about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers nationwide permit. So we are required in this project to obtain what's called a nationwide permit from the Corps of Engineers, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and why do we have to do that?
Because
okay, is it because of the streams on the site?
Yes, it's a water in the U.S. that connects to
Okay, and just to be clear, we're not impacting the streams at all, are we?
We are not.
Okay. All right, and if we obtain a nationwide permit from the Corps of Engineers, what will that allow us to do?
That will allow us to, from the point of view of the Corps of Engineers, federal government, and we are getting a permit from or an authorization from the Department of Ecology. So a lot of state and federal government permits to fill the island and do the mitigation.
Okay, so it's a fill permit.
Correct.
Okay, all right, what's the scope of the review by the Corps and Ecology? Is it from A to Z, or are they just looking at certain components of this the mitigation sequencing process?
Mr. Gorey, the sound's not working too well again. Okay. I was getting some notes from Ms. Jones that we could take a break and she could help set up a better speaker. Yeah, because I didn't hear some of Ms. Bartlett's responses, and I don't think it's being taped. So, yeah, let's take a break till 10:10, and hopefully we'll resolve that situation.
Okay. Thank you.